In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. Today is the Feast of the Transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are going to take the scripture from St. Luke. And I take Luke's scripture because it says a couple of things that Matthew and Mark doesn't say. First of all, we ask you, God, that the glory of God that shines on the face of Jesus would shine in our hearts today, bringing eternal life and joy, as well as your peace and your presence. Oh, Lord, how much we need you. About 8 days after, he said this, and he took Peter, John, and James and went up a high mountain, Matthew says, to pray. And this is the difference. In Luke's gospel, Jesus is praying. This happens in a time of prayer. First of all, Peter, James, and John. Peter, always, he is the first. He's always the first. You will never see Peter as second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth in the apostles. He will always be the first. He will always be mentioned first. John and James are the sons of Zebedee, and these are also his favorites, and he brings them up to this holy mountain, Mount Tabor. This is the story of Deborah and Mount Tabor, if you want to look at that in the book of Judges, and how Deborah defeats the enemy. God uses Deborah, the woman judge, to defeat the enemy. And while he was praying, Luke tells us, while he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with Jesus, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? That Luke uses the word exodus. The exodus is the saving event of Israel. The exodus is when Israel went through the sea. The exodus is what makes Israel, Israel. Without an exodus, there would not be Israel. There would not be the children of Israel without an exodus. Without the opening of the sea and them getting through and Pharaoh dying and his horses and chariots, there would not be the children of Israel. That's really true. Without the exodus, I'm going to tell you that we would not have an Old Testament. The exodus is what brings birth to the Israelites. The exodus. Yeah, we say Abraham is the father. Yeah, he can be the father all he wants. But without the act of God in opening of the sea and bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, I'm going to tell you there would be no children of Israel. They would have just become one of the many clans. That's all. But you see, this is the favor of God, the exodus. God opens the sea. God opens the sea and lets them through, gets them through. The Egyptians, they perish. And you know, they were born through the sea. Moses and Elijah were speaking to Jesus about his exodus, about his death, burial, and resurrection. That's the new exodus. And without the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we'd have no birth as Christians. We would not be here. Jesus would have just been some kind of a kook, because he certainly wouldn't have been God, and he wouldn't have been a prophet because he claimed to be God. He would have been some kind of a lunatic or a liar. The exodus of Christ's passion, death, burial, and resurrection, we are born again through faith and baptism. Oh, yeah, we go through the water. We go through the water. But this water is the saving water. It doesn't do something on the outside. It does something on the inside. New hearts. New life. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall later be has not yet come to light. We know that when it comes to light, we shall be like him. For we shall see him even as he is. Oh, Jesus was praying this day on Mount Tabor, and his face was as bright as the sun, and his clothes whiter than any bleacher could make them. And there appeared Moses and Elijah. Moses represents the law, Elijah the prophets. And they were speaking to Jesus about his death and burial and resurrection. Very important. They were not talking about the weather or the Red Sox. They were talking about, this is what must happen. You know why you came. You know why you came as the servant of God, as the servant of Yahweh. You know, but now is the time. And when the time comes, it comes with glory. It comes with glory. It comes with glory. It comes with glory. The glory that he had before the foundation of the world. The glory that he shared with the Father from all eternity. The glory of the sun shining on the face of Jesus. I don't mean sun, S-U-N, I mean S-O-N. The glory of the sun shining on the face of Jesus. God is one, and he has a son. And his son shared the glory of the Father from all eternity. And now this glory is made known on the face of Jesus, on the Mount of Transfiguration. But it's a bittersweet experience. It's a bittersweet experience. For the glory of God comes upon Jesus, but he must go into Jerusalem and accomplish all the things that had to be done. Even he said that at Caesarea Philippi. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him as they were about to part from him. Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three booths. Three booths. So this tells us that this event of Mount Tabor, this event of Transfiguration, happened in the fall. Let us make three booths. This is when the children of Israel, in the fall, during the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, still they make their little tabernacles to recall their exodus in the desert. Exodus through the sea and then through the desert. Let us make three booths. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. This is a joyful feast. Many people say Jesus will return on the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't know. We don't know either the day nor the hour. But you know what? He's still Jewish. And Jesus is still Jewish. He's not a Catholic. And you know, we are Jewish. We truly are. Yes, Roman Catholic, yes. But the flower of Judaism is the Roman Catholic Church, Christianity. I'm Jewish. I'm Jewish, and he's my Messiah. Oh, he's Messiah, Jew and Gentile. You might be Jewish. He's the Messiah. He's the suffering servant. Elijah and Moses spoke of his exodus, about his death and burial and resurrection. And you know what? If you don't believe me, you ask him. If you're the Messiah, show me. If you're Jewish, you have nothing to lose. Because you know what? If he's not the Messiah, he won't show you. If you're the Messiah, show me. Just show me. But you need to do it with your heart, not with your mouth. Because you're a seeker of truth. You want the truth. You want to know the truth. Not only Jewish, you might be a Muslim. If you're the Messiah and you died for my sins, show me. You might be a Catholic. If you're the Messiah, you died for my sins, show me. We have lots of Catholics that they're just pagans. We have lots of Presbyterians that are pagans, and lots of Baptists that are pagans, and lots of Pentecostals that are pagans. If you're the Messiah, show me. I need to know without a question of a doubt. I need to have that light shine around me. I need to know the glory of Jesus shining on his holy face. I need to know that. I don't want to be in the dark. And as they were about to part from him, Peter said to him, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But he did not know what he was saying. And while he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them. And they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Oh, hallelujah! That cloud was seen in Exodus, that same glory of God that led the children of Israel through the desert, that the scripture said, whenever the cloud moved, God's children took up their tents and they began to move with the cloud. That cloud that followed them, that led them by day, and that pillar of fire that led them by night, that cloud is the glory of God. 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 You want to know what? When God created the earth, through his word, through his son, for the son spoke the world into existence, the earth was filled with his glory. The earth was filled with his glory. The earth was filled with his glory. But you want to know what? I'm going to tell you, after Adam and Eve sinned, you want to know what happened? Oh, all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The glory started to retreat. Oh, yes. People say, why did they live so long during those days? I'm going to tell you, I believe, this is what I believe. They lived so long during those days because the glory was still upon the earth. But with sin, it retreated more and more and more and more. Can I prove that? I can't prove that. But I believe that. I believe that. And that's my own opinion. I'm not telling you that's the gospel. I'm telling you that's my own opinion, that the glory filled the earth so much. But the first time the glory started to retreat was after Adam and Eve sinned. And then it retreated more when Cain kills Abel. Oh, yes. Then it retreats more and more with Babel. And you just can name it, my friends. It retreats more and more. And you know what? As the glory retreats and leaves, you know what happens? Man's age is 70 years old and 80 if they're strong. Well, I think that's what it says in the Psalms, and that's even pushing it. When the glory retreats. But you see, that glory was seen on the Mount of Transfiguration. That glory was seen on the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. All men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How did Jesus bridge the glory gap? Through his exodus, through his death and resurrection. Through his death and resurrection, the glory gap has been bridged again. What is this glory? The kabod Yahweh. The kabod, the heavy presence of God. The heavy presence of God. And we see it. We see it in Exodus. We see it. We see it. We see it. We also see it in 2 Chronicles 5. Listen. King Solomon and the entire community of Israel, they're dedicating the temple. Gathered about him before the ark were sacrificing sheep and sacrificing oxen, so numerous that they could not be counted or numbered. The priest brought the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place beneath the wings of the cherubim in the sanctuary, into the holy of the holies of the temple. Remember, the holy of holies was behind the holy place, and it was a square room, and it was in complete darkness. And the cherubim had their wings spread over the place of the ark, sheltering the ark and its poles from above. And the poles were long enough so that the ends could be seen from the part of the holy place nearest and beyond. The ark has remained there to this day. There was nothing in the ark but the two tablets which Moses put there on Horeb, the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. And remember that the Ten Commandments came with glory. Remember, because they had to cover the face of Moses, because it was a fading glory. remember the commandments condemned us because all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet that which condemned us brought glory, glory on the face of Moses, remember. But it was a fading glory. It wasn't forever. We remember what St. Paul says in the letter to the Galatians, that the law is like a tutor getting us ready for grace. Remember that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. And so we see Moses. Moses, he places within the Ark of the Covenant the two tablets, the Ten Commandments, and that when he received those commandments, they came with glory. They came with much glory, that they had to cover his face with the veil. What else was in that Ark of the Covenant? It says, the tablets of the covenant that the Lord made with the Israelites in his departure from Egypt, but also they placed within it Aaron's rod and some of the manna. It says it in another place. When the priests came out of the holy place, listen, all the priests who were present and purified themselves without reference to the rotation of their various classes, the Levites who were singers, all who belonged to Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun and the sons and brothers clothed in fine linens with cymbals and harps and lyres stood east of the altar, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets. What are they doing? They're worshiping. They're worshiping. What does worship bring? It brings the glory. Listen. And when the trumpeters and the singers were heard as a single voice praising and giving thanks to the Lord, when they raised the sound of the trumpets, cymbals and other musical instruments to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. The building of the Lord's temple was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not continue to minister because of the cloud, since the Lord's glory filled the house of God. What brought the glory? The worship brought the glory. The worship brought the glory. Oh, they were singing, they were praising God. Oh, the temple, the temple, the temple, where God and man would meet through the sacrifice, through the sacrifice. And yet this is just a shadow of the new temple, who is Christ our temple. From his side flowed blood and water. Oh, the temple of Jerusalem is just a shadow of the temple that hangs upon the cross, this living temple now risen from the dead, risen from the dead. Whoever pleads at the Father's right hand for you and for me as the great high priest. That's why I say, if you're Jewish and you don't know the Messiah, you tell him, I want to know if Jesus is the one. If you're a Muslim, I want to know if Jesus is the one. If you're a Catholic and you're just you don't know Jesus anymore, you know Mickey Mouse, you don't even know Mickey Moore. You went to visit him last year with your kids, but you don't know Jesus. I want to know if Jesus is the one. I want to know. And what happened from the cloud? Oh, the Father says, this is my beloved Son, the Son of my love. Listen to him. From the glory cloud spoke the Father's voice, my beloved Son, the one I love, Jesus, Son of God, Son of Mary, Jesus, true God and true man, Jesus, the sacrifice for our sins, Jesus, the resurrection and the life, Jesus, the ascended great high priest, whoever lives to make intercession for you and me. Hallelujah. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him, my friends. We would be in a much better state in the church today if we listened to Jesus. You would be in a much better state today, and me too, if we listened to Jesus. If we heard him, if we followed him, if we surrendered our life to him, if we walked with him, if we talked with him, if we wept with him, if we laughed with him, we would be in a much better state today. If we listened to Jesus. But somehow, man and woman, we're so arrogant. We think we know how to build the church, and the only thing we can do is mess it up. We think that we've got the way to do it. We've got a new this and a new that, when the only thing that works is the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit, and the sacraments that he gave us, and Pentecost, the ongoing experience of the life of Jesus. Oh, my friends, there's nothing new under the sun, says Koheleth in the book of Ecclesiastes. Nothing is new under the sun, but everything above the sun is new. And he says, I make all things new through his glory. You see, today I was reading from the book of Ecclesiastes, and Solomon was saying, you know, I decided that I would have beautiful trees and fruit trees and pomegranates, and I would make parks, and I would have horses, and I would have lambs, and I would have all these things, and I would have slaves, and I would have this, and I would have that, and I would have everything else. But then he says, you know what? The end is going to happen to me who has wisdom, as well as the one who does not have wisdom. We're all both going to die. Nothing is new under the sun. And he was right. It's not under the sun. It's over the sun. It's where God is with Christ Jesus at the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. I make all things new. Nothing is new under the sun. You can spend your money. You can make $1 million a day, but you're going to leave it to your relatives or to those who are going to fight over it. You're going to leave it. You're going to leave it. You're going to leave it. That's what Solomon said. That's what Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes. I've got all these riches, but you know what? It's all going. It's not even mine. Nothing is new under the sun, because the grave will get us all. But everything is new over the sun. Where Jesus lives with the Father at the Father's right hand, as the great high priest, whose face shines with the glory, praying for those whom he loves, praying for you and for me. Father, I do not pray for the world, he says, but I pray for those that thou hast given me out of the world, that they may be one as I am in thee and thou art in me, that they would be completely one in us, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Father, I do not pray for the world. I don't. But I pray for those whom you have given me out of the world. I pray for those that you would keep them safe from the evil one. I pray for those who will hear through the apostles' teaching. You read it in the 17th chapter of St. John. Oh, I do not pray for the world, Jesus says. No, the world is for the church to go after. Jesus prays for the church. Jesus prays for the blood-bought ones. Jesus prays for you. He does not pray for the world. We are the ones in the church who should be praying for the world, so that they too would be blood-bought. My friends, let me just tell you this. If we listened to Jesus, we'd be far better off. No one can help you but Jesus, Sadie said. For no one but Jesus knows how. Oh, yeah, she was 85. They all thought she was nuts, but she wasn't nuts. She was a saint, a little Protestant saint. Nobody can help you but Jesus. For no one but Jesus knows how. That's real. For the glory of God doesn't shine on Buddha, and it doesn't shine on Mohammed, and it doesn't shine on me. The glory of God shines on the face of Jesus. And he says, come unto me, all of you who labor and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. For in me your soul will find rest. in me. Are you Jewish? Come on, ask him. If you're really the Messiah, I want to know it. Beyond the shadow of a doubt. Are you an atheist? If you're really the Messiah, I want to know it. Beyond the shadow of a doubt. You out to kill yourself today? If you're really the Messiah, I want to know it without a shadow of a doubt. Father, I pray for the unction of the Spirit. I pray that what happened on Mount Tabor would happen now. I pray and I worship you, I adore you, I praise you, I bless you. I only have a couple of seconds, but I worship you, I praise you, I adore you, I adore you, I adore you. Father, I adore your Son. I praise your Son, I adore him. He's wonderful, he's wonderful. He's the King of glory. Father, let that glory come upon your people. Let that glory come upon their people. Let the glory come upon your people. Father, please, please, they're having all that glory in heaven. We need it on earth, Father, because the whole world's gone nuts. Let your glory fall on your people. Oh, the glory is here. Yes, God's glory is here. I can feel his mighty presence in the very atmosphere. So wherever you may be, just reach out and receive, and say, it's mine, I take it now. Listen, on Wednesday we're going to Planned Parenthood. What's the address? 1055? 1055 Commonwealth Avenue, Planned Parenthood in the morning. I hope you're going to join me early in the morning as we worship there, that the glory would come, that children's lives would be saved on Wednesday morning. Planned Parenthood, that's on the 8th of August. And I need to hear from you. You know why? Because we're in debt this month. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And we are at the espousal on Wednesday at 7:30 in the evening. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported...